Good morning. It's good to see everyone gathered to worship God. We are continuing with the spiritual sculpting series, and today we're going to be talking about kindness. And the passage that comes to us is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. Now hear the word of God. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. I guess it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand the passage that was just read. Nobody paying back wrong for wrong, but always trying to be kind to each other. Not to the people who deserve it, but to everyone. This is the word of God. And as we are called to be kind to each other, God calls this a spiritual fruit, fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Now, notice the word clothe. This literally means that we are to put on the character of kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We are to put on compassion, put on kindness, put on humility, put on gentleness and patience. This is a choice that we must make. We have a choice to be kind or unkind, and we must wear the clothes of kindness in order for us to be kind to everyone. Every day when we get up, we have choice to put on clothes, what we're going to wear for the day. And God is calling his children to put on the clothes of faith and also clothes of kindness, gentleness, compassion, and humility. This is a choice that we make to put on every day. It's an attitude of choice. Why? Because God chose kindness. He could have cared less if everyone went to hell, but he cared enough to send his only son, Jesus Christ, not only for those people who are goody-two-shoe, but the Bible says that he chose to love not only the people who deserve it, but to the ungrateful and to the wicked as well. And in Matthew, Jesus says that, you know, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and for the good. And he sends a rain not only to the righteous, but the unrighteous as well. What that means is God does not discriminate his kindness. He is kind to everyone. If God was kind to only those who deserve, I would be in trouble because a lot of times I'm not a goody two-shoe. I have my shares of sinfulness and my shares of wickedness in my life. In spite of what people deserve, in spite of how people respond, God continues to show with his goodness. Now we're going to talk about what is kindness and why do we need to be kind and how we're going to be kind. First, we're going to talk about what kindness is and what is not. Well, kindness is not to be confused with Christianity. Well, time to time we hear people saying, well, that person is really kind. That person is a real Christian. That person is ready to share with everyone and assist anyone in need. Well, being kind does not make us a Christian. I have seen my shares of non-Christians who are very kind. There are many Christians who are unkind, who are rude. So just because we're kind, that doesn't make us Christians. Kindness is not a cheap sentimentality. It goes beyond the play acting or simulated sight and the crocodile tears. True kindness gets involved with the personal sorrow and strains of other people in order for me to be an encouragement, in order for me to really inconvenience myself, in order to be of help. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Though he was rich, he chose to become poor, so that other person may become rich, changing my comfort and changing my peace in order for me to bring comfort to other people. Kindness is not allowing the other person to do wrong and letting them get away with it. That's not kindness. Kindness is not about giving $100 to an alcoholic or cocaine addict. Kindness is not giving in to the demands of other person just to make other person happy. Then what is kindness? Well, let me define it for you. Kindness is a response to do good to another, to help a person to experience something right or uplifting or positive in his or her life. Kindness is love in action. Well, we talked about the first fruit of a spirit is love, and that love, when it acts, when it's in action, it's shown through kindness. Kindness is a thing that we do to demonstrate our love for other people and love of Christ. Kindness is visible. It is something we do. It is active. God demonstrated his kindness to us by sending his son Jesus Christ. He did not just say, well, I love you, and he left it at that. But his love was manifested by sending his son Jesus Christ, not only to live with us, but to die on the cross, not for his sins, but for the sins of you and I. That is kindness. Kindness is love in action. Kindness comes in all kinds of form and expression, from the very simple to the more complex and complicated forms of kindness. Kindness is as simple as a smile. Really. Wearing a smile on your face is one of a way that we can demonstrate kindness to people around us. When you smile to a cashier when you're in a supermarket, when you come into a church, smiling to people who is around you, it's a form of kindness. Kindness is as simple, you know, it could be as simple as saying thank you. Thank you to the waitress who serves you at the restaurant, to someone who does kind deeds to you. As you're passing by to a mailman and to the people who are collecting garbage, to the people who make my life happy and truly peaceful, we express our kindness through simple thank you. It is encouraging words to someone who is discouraged. It is an expression of appreciation, affirmation to the people around you. Kindness is a language the dumb can understand, the deaf can hear, and the blind can see. Now the question is, why? Why should I be kind when the world is very rude and unkind? Why should I be kind? Well, we are to be kind because our God is kind God. Our God has been so good to us, so kind to us. His kindness is expressed through Jesus Christ and is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit that supplies strength in every day of our lives. God's kindness forgives my sins over and over and over again at the cost of his own son, Jesus Christ. God's kindness accepts me to his family and calls me his own, his child, his son, that I am worthy. God's kindness enables me for me to be remade, refashioned, and reformed gently into his likeness. And that's what we're doing right now. We are recovering the image of God that was lost in the Garden of Eden. That's how kind our God is. Showing undeserved kindness imitates God's character. So by being kind, we are recovering the lost image of Christ within each one of us. The second reason why we need to be kind is this, because we want people to be kind to us. Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The way that you treat people is often the way that you would be treated. If you treat the person with rudeness, oftentimes it comes back with the response of rudeness. But if you treat a person with kindness, they will often respond like in the like manner. It is a rule of life. What is planted, you're gonna harvest it. This is a golden rule that Jesus gave us. In fact, it's a golden rule of life. Whatever you give, that will be returned to you. Be kind to everybody and everyone. You never know who might show up on the jury at your trial. Have you wondered why people always seem to be rude to you, always treating you in a snotty way? Well, maybe we need to look at ourselves. How am I treating other people? We may be inclined to look at others as a source of blame, but look inside, because kindness begets kindness and rudeness begets rudeness. Because we want to be treated kindly, we need to be kind. The third reason why we need to be kind is this, because kindness demonstrates that we belong to Christ. In this kindness-starved society, people will turn their heads when they see the random act of kindness. this can be the greatest testimony that God is alive and working in my life. I heard a story about this little boy who limped quite a bit because of his childhood illness. He was having a hard time walking down the street while carrying some packages. A passerby came by the boy and it happened to bump into a little bit, and that just knocked him over. And he fell. As he fell, his packages went flying out. The passerby just kind of glanced over and kept on walking. The man came along and saw the plight of the boy, and he helped the boy up and dusted off his jeans, and he picked up the packages and gave it back to the boy, and even gave the boy $1 and a pat on the back. And the boy looked up to the man and said, "Mister, are you Jesus?" The man said, "No, but I am one of his followers." We talk about living a missional life. Missional life is all about impressing other people with the love and the kindness of Jesus Christ, because we want to resemble Jesus Christ. As Christ has been kind to us, we're kind to other people. Do you sometimes have COVID blues? Because of pandemic, are you depressed? Well, I have 10 rules for getting rid of this blue. Here are the 10 rules. Go out and do something for someone else, and then repeat it 9 times. Oftentimes, when you do these things, you're going to get rid of the blues that you might have right now. Now the question is, how can I become more kind? Well, I'm made this way, and I live my life this way. I haven't been very kind, but now, how can I be kind? Well, practice following traits. First practice that we can do is this. A kind person is a very sensitive person, very sensitive to other people. A kind person is the one who is aware of the needs of other people around them, not just themselves. We cannot heal the wound we do not feel. As the pandemic started, one of our brother at our church, Brother Ricardo Rowe, he contacted me, and he's saying that there are a lot of day workers who go hungry because of pandemic, because of COVID-19, and he wanted to do something for them. And he was going to make a lunch bags, and he was going to make 200, and I could volunteer to do 100. We did for a few weeks and fed a lot of people. It was really exciting time as we were really giving our material, not only material goods, but our effort and our love. And as we put the lunch bag together, we put masks and we put hand sanitizer, as a lot of people stepped up in order to show their kindness to other people. It was truly a miracle when people are willing to be sensitive to the needs of other people. God works in amazing ways. One of the big reasons why we are not kind is because we are very self-focused. We are mostly concerned about me, myself, and I, my plans, where I'm going, my desire, my goal, my hurt, my pain, my issues. Do you know what Paul said about Jesus in Philippians 2:4? Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. We are to have the same attitude of Christ. And notice that we are to be looking. Each of you should look. We should be looking around in order to notice people who are in need, who are hurting, who needs attention. They are noticing that they can minister and to be help to the people around. You know, when we go to church, do you go with an attitude of focusing on yourself and your own needs, and you want your own desire to be fulfilled? Do you wonder if someone will minister to you? Or do you go with the attitude, how can I be a blessing to other people? How can I make other person happy? What, not only to church, but as you begin your day, are we all about yourself, or are you about making other people life happy and blessed? Church should be one of the kindest places on earth, It should be the place where the visitors feel welcome and overwhelmed by the love and the welcoming and the kindness of the people around, because we dare to care. Don't just walk in and find your own spot and sit comfortably. Look around for unfamiliar faces and greet them. If you know someone who is going through some rough times and tough times, why don't you walk over and just offer them a prayer and concern? If you feel someone who have something to congratulate, then go ahead and do it. Can you picture how caring and warm and welcoming our church would be if just half of the people who are attending worship service simply showed the simple act of kindness? The other half would receive them. Just go ahead and practice right now. Turn to the person next to you and do it right now. Give them the gift of smile, and the other person will receive it, okay? Right now, turn to the person next to you and give them the biggest gift of smile that you can give. I bet the person who is receiving cannot receive it with a frown. When we show kindness, kindness returns to us. How about when you go home? Is your family kind to one another? Or do you have war going on at home? Do you take each other for granted? How are you in listening to each other's concerns and burdens? Do you turn in or tune out? Some are more concerned about what is happening on the television, the latest sports program, or what's going on in the internet, on the YouTube, than what's going on in the lives of family members. We are not demonstrating kind act to the people right next to us and right around us. Let's open our eyes and open our ears and our hearts to the voice that is crying out for our attention. And second way that we can maybe practice kindness is this. A kind person is an encourager. A kind person is one who builds people up rather than tear people down. One way to encourage or discourage is through our tongues. Ephesians 4:29 says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." That means if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. Even if it's the right thing, even if it's the correct thing that you want to say, if it's going to hurt other person, if it's going to really damage other person, don't say it. You know the nursery rhyme, "Stick and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." How incredibly untrue that is. I don't know where that rhyme comes from. We can recover very quickly from stick and stones. Whatever we get hurt physically, it heals. But we do not recover very quickly from name calling. All it takes is for a father to tell his child he's worthless, that he is stupid. That word will be stuck on the mind of a child for a very long time. All it takes is a simple gossip talk in the body of Jesus Christ, in the church, and it will destroy that person and the church. Words have an incredible way of building up or tearing down. That's why Psalmist says this, Psalm 19:14, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in the sight of Lord, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Our words, not only must it be an encouraging to other people, but it should be pleasing to God. One kind word can warm 3 winter months. That's a Japanese proverb. One kind word can warm 3 winter months. Winter can be warm through kind words. The third way that we can be kind is this way. A kind person is a sympathetic person. Romans 12:15 says this, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." If we're going to be kind people, we need to learn to be sympathetic to the needs and hurts of people around us. Don't go to your friend's mother's funeral and say things such as, "Get over it. They're in heaven. Do you not have faith?" that person is in heaven, so you shouldn't cry. No, don't do that. Mourn with the hurting people and laugh with the people who are rejoicing. That should be the attitude of Christians. And the fourth way that we can be kind is this. If you want to be kind, learn to be spontaneous. Don't wait to show kindness. Don't wait for opportunity. I'm going to wait for the next opportunity. Do it while you have the opportunity and do it now. Notice what Paul says in Galatians 6:10. As we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. As we have opportunity, do it. When should I be kind? Whenever we have opportunity. Don't get caught in this laziness game of, oh, I should have. When you feel the nudging of Holy Spirit, do it. If you think about buying flowers to your spouse, don't think about the reason, or don't think about whether my spouse deserves or not. Just if you feel like passing by the flower stand and there's a flower and you feel like, oh, my wife would really, or my husband really would enjoy that, just do it. Just buy it. Be spontaneous. Beside being self-focused, the number one enemy of kindness is busyness. When we are busy, it is difficult to be kind because we don't have time to be kind. We don't have time to make that phone call or just to see how somebody's doing, visiting, writing a note, writing an email. I have things to do and places to go. Busyness is one of those enemies of kindness. Use your technical gadgets to be kind. Email, text, KakaoTalk, Messenger, Instagram, whatever you can. Even though you may be busy and you may be just running around without much time left, use whatever time you may have in order to encourage someone. You know, I get really excited and encouraged whenever somebody kind of texts me and email me saying that, Pastor, thank you for today's message. I was so blessed. Well, I'm going to at least receive one or two messages today because I kind of, you know, I'm almost forcing you to be kind to your pastor. I think email was created so that we can, email means encouraging mail, not evil mail. So use it so that you can encourage someone. You know, the Christian life is all about being kind because God took his time. I thank God he was not too busy to be kind to us. He was not too busy in creating the world and doing what he does, but he chose to be kind, and he took time in order to decide to send his son, Jesus Christ. Kindness, my friends, is not easy. I gotta be the first one to say kindness is a risky business, because especially in today's society, when you do a kind deed to someone, they might misinterpret or wonder if you have an ulterior motive. If a husband suddenly shows up at the door with a flower in his hand, the wife will suspect, what did he do wrong this time? What's up? What do you want? Being very suspicious of why the person's being kind. Kindness puts us in a vulnerable position. People may misinterpret or spread rumors about us, or they may take advantage of us. You might just open the door and they just kind of, you know, they might latch onto you and they wanna just suck you dry for you being kind. It is a risky business. Showing kindness, you can get very dirty. But remember, we belong to the household of God, and our God's been kind to us. And we need to show kindness to other people. I have a homework for you this week. Make a list of 7 people in your life. 7 people, whether that may be your family members or people you work with or people at school, whoever that may be. Make a list of 7 people, and every day, why don't you either write an encouraging email or the text, or, you know, just send a simple card or gift, whatever you can do in order to be kind to them. And it could be someone who at the supermarket, a cashier who's been kind to you, who's been helping you. Kindness has to be intentional. Just as I expressed in the beginning of sermon, put on. It says to put on, clothe yourself with kindness. It has to be intentional. Kindness is one of the best ways to testify that I belong to the household of God. And may this fruit of kindness bring much joy and glory to God and fulfillment in our lives as well. Let's pray. God, thank you for being our God. Thank you for being kind, God. We want to learn from your kindness that you took time to send your Jesus, Son Jesus Christ, to us. Not for your own glory, but so that we may have life and life eternal. May we use whatever you have given us, our time, our mind, our tongue, our hands, and our feet, whatever you have given us, so that we may express the kind of Jesus, kindness of Jesus Christ that you have shown to each one of us. God, thank you for being kind, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.